the spring weather. It's a little bit cool earlier this morning, but it's warming up and it's going to be a nice day, I'm sure. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we are grateful that we can come to you in prayer. Grateful that you want us to pray to you. You want us to talk to you. We know, Father, you have spoken to us through your word, the Bible. You want us to speak to you in prayer. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify your name. We praise you because you are our spiritual, our heavenly Father. We pray, Father, you'd help us in our worship today and with our brethren all over the world. Wherever they might be, many have already worshiped. Some will be worshiping later. Whatever the conditions or situation, wherever our brethren are, bless them, help them. Just pray that their worship will be glorifying your name and will be edifying one to each other. Bless us now as we continue our study and continue to praise you and worship you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Paul said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Now are they many members yet, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor in the hands and the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. It is clear in this passage that Paul makes it the point that the church is described as the body. And the body has many different parts. And just as Paul makes that comparison there, we know that's true in the human body, but it's also true in the spiritual body. That the church has many members, and each member is different from the other, but we are all members of the one body. We're talking about this very idea over in Romans chapter 12. Paul said in verse 4 and 5 of that chapter, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's what I'd like to think about this morning, the one another relationships that we have in the body of Christ. If I counted correctly, if I understand this correctly, that phrase, one another, is used 113 times in the New Testament. While we're not going to look at every passage that deals with it this morning and this evening, we're going to be looking at a number of those passages and a number of those relationships and those responsibilities that we have one to another. One of the saddest things that has happened in the world is that in many, many denominations and the Catholic Church as well, is that people come in and they leave and they have no relationship with people there that they're worshiping with. And they may know a few people, they may be able to say hello, they're usually, you know, cordial. But to really say we've got a relationship is something that just doesn't exist. And when you ask people in the religious bodies how much important is the relationship with people, they give you a blind stare and say, what do you mean relationship? What are you talking about? That's what we want to talk about this morning, the one another responsibilities that we have for each other. Well, first of all, I will start off with the idea that we are to use hospitality one to another. Note what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12 that we Christians are to be given to hospitality. The Hebrew writer says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And when Paul gave the requirements for the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he said, if she has lodged strangers. One of the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that he must be given to hospitality. In fact, Paul tells Titus in Titus 1 verse 8, but the elder has to be a lover of hospitality. Now, this seems to be something that people have gone kind of out of the way and say, look, we just can't do that today. We just can't have people over like we used to. We used to invite people over. We just can't do that today. The question would be, why not? Some people say, well, we can't have hospitality today because we just don't have nice enough things. Our china isn't nice enough. We don't have polished silver. We don't have all those things. And I would really ask the question, where does the Bible tell you that you have to have fancy china and silver be hospitable? It nowhere says anything like that. You read about examples of hospitality. Abraham entertained the strangers in Genesis chapter 18. You have Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10 took in Jesus and the apostles and gave them a meal. You have many examples of that in the world today. And we need to really go back and say, look, it doesn't matter how fancy a meal is. It doesn't matter whether it's even a meal. You can have somebody in your home and just say, let's just have a cup of coffee. Let's just have pastry or whatever. It doesn't have to be fancy in any sense. The whole point is people being together and sharing their lives together with one another. And that use of hospitality is something that we have to say this is a part of the New Testament. Now, I know our lives are busy. I know that people say, well, my home isn't really nice, and I don't have a big house, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. But you can still share in hospitality with somebody. I want to tell you about a brother over in Georgia. His name was Hubbard. We all called him Hub. And his wife died. He was an elder. And his wife died. And Hub and his wife had people over to their house virtually every Sunday, every week. They had somebody. She taught the first grade in that congregation for 21 years. People grew up and had children and said, I want my child to be in Sister Hubbard's class. And she had this tremendous influence on children. Well, anyway, Sister Hubbard got sick and she died. And Hub said that I'm not going to stop. I'm still going to be hospitable with people. Now, the problem with that is, like many men, Hub couldn't cook worth a flip. He couldn't boil water. He couldn't do anything. He was terrible when it came to cooking. He really was. And he admitted it. He said, I don't want to poison the brethren, so what am I going to do? So he decided he would take them out to a restaurant. And virtually every week, at least one time a week, sometimes two, sometimes even three times a week, he would call up somebody or he'd get hold of a church and say, well, let's go out to eat together. Let's go to dinner together. My treat, you come with me. And he did. He picked some restaurant and never played ticket. By doing that, he knew every restaurant in town. He'd been to every single one of them. He knew everything about everyone. He could tell you the menus of all of them. He was kind of a heavy-set guy, anyway. He really liked to eat. But Hub just said, I'm going to practice hospitality. He didn't have them in his home. He couldn't cook. His home wasn't that clean. He didn't do that much housekeeping. But he took people out. And he got to be with them. He got to talk to them. Got to know them. He got to really meet their spiritual needs because he was doing it with hospitality. Secondly, we are to love one another. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15, verse 17. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. When Peter wrote his first letter, he said, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from one another, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All that shows the fact that we are to love one another. Now, how do we love one another? First of all, we love as Christ loved us. Jesus said, the new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you would love one another. He said in John 15, 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much did Jesus love us? He loved us enough to give up his life for us. Would you give up your life for your brethren? Would you love them that much? Are we willing to say, look, I may not know a lot about my brethren, but they are my brethren, and I will give up my life for my brethren. We are to love each other as we love ourselves. The Bible does talk about self-love. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is a good, healthy sense of self-love. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about conceit. I'm not talking about being exalting yourself. But there is a good sense of self-love. We are to love as we love ourselves. We are to love one another fervently and genuinely. Peter says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And he said in chapter 4 of that same letter, and above all things, have fervent love amongst one another. Now, if people gossip about one another, that's not having fervent love. If people ignore people at church, that's not having fervent love. I know one man who wanted to be an elder. He talked about being an elder. He desired that office very much. But when people started talking about that man, the thing that went in the evaluation of that man, many people wrote in their evaluation of the man when he was nominated to be an elder, said he never speaks to anybody at church. I asked one lady about that, and she said, David, you don't know how many times I have stood there, that man has walked past me, saw me, and never even said good morning. Never said hello, never smiled, never did. And I asked this man one time about that. He said, well, people like it when the chairman of the board speaks to them. Chairman of the board is talking about himself, talking about his exalted position. And he was a businessman, and he didn't have some exalted positions in certain places. That's true. But that's not to be in the body of Christ. We are to love one another. You think about the story of the Good Samaritan. That man stopped by the side of the road. I don't know what his business was. I don't know what he was doing. But I know he took time out to help that man that had been beaten up and was laid there hurting and bleeding. And he took him into the inn. He paid for his way. He said, if there's any other expense, I'll pay that when I come back. That man showed genuine love. And that's what we're to have today as well. If you really want to know what love is, you go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. You look at all those characteristics of love. That's what love does. Love is stronger than death, the Bible says in the Old Testament. We need to have love one for another. And then another way that we can have relationships in Christ is by praying for one another. As we've mentioned many times, you have a whole list of people to pray for. You've got dozens of people that you can pray for by name in the bulletin. And you don't have to call each name out. I realize the fact that if you just say, Lord, I'm praying for all those that are on our sick list, yes, you cover it. But I really think you would do yourself a favor if you say, look, I'm praying for John Smith, I'm praying for Bill Jones, I'm praying for this one, I'm praying for this Jack Brown, I'm praying for Ed Gray, I'm praying for whoever is on the list. I'm praying for those people. It would help you to think of their needs and think about their lives and to pray more often for them. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. David said in the Old Testament, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. We have examples of people in the New Testament that did pray. Paul said, every time I think of you, I pray for you. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Christ prayed for you. Did you realize that? In John chapter 17, he says, I pray for all those that will believe on their word. Talking about us in the church. Christ was praying for us. We are to be people of prayer. Now, we don't want to be selfish in our prayers. We don't want to just pray for ourselves. We want to pray for others. Paul asked the brethren in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray for us. And we want to pray for the sick, as is done this morning, pray for our country. We want to pray for the spread of the gospel. We want to pray for the missionaries that we support. We want to pray for the benevolent works. We want to pray for that little girl over in the Philippines that we're supporting. We want to pray for that school, that young man that we've supported, that student preacher over there. So many great works that we can pray for, and we need to be people of prayer. One time, a lady, I was in a class, I was teaching about the personal evangelism, and I mentioned that when you go into somebody's home, and you are going to study the Bible with them, said you want to open your Bible study with a prayer. I said, if you don't, then you certainly want to close the Bible study with a prayer if you don't start it with a prayer. Some people will only have a prayer at the end, some at the beginning and the end. But I said, sometime during that Bible study, you need to have a prayer. Lady looked at me and said, David, you know that when we studied the Bible, we saw the June Miller film strips. We saw the 5 June Miller film strips. And we were baptized at the 5th one. Then we saw the 5 other film strips that were put out after that called Now That I'm a Christian. There were 5 film strips in that. So we had 5 strips before we were baptized, 5 film strips, or Bible studies after we were baptized. But said, did you know what struck me about all that? I said, what? She said, not one time in 10 Bible studies did we ever have a word of prayer. Now this was up in Memphis, Tennessee. But I'm just saying, brethren, sometimes, at some places, on some occasions, some of us have gotten it wrong. If you think you can do God's work without God's help, you are mistaken. You need God's help in every Bible study. You need God's help in everything that you do. We need to be people of prayer. Pray one for another. Then also, we need to serve one another. Service means a lot of different things. Paul said, Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, by love serve one another. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, minister, serve. He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Jesus said, the mark of greatness is the one who would be a servant of another. Greatness is not measured in what you have. Greatness is not measured in the size of your bank account. Greatness is not measured in the number of rooms in your house. Greatness is not measured in the number of degrees in your name. Greatness is measured in the amount of service that you render to your fellow man. And we need to keep that in mind that Christ had nothing. He had no place to lay his head. He had no home. He had no possessions. All he had was the clothes that he wore, but he was the great servant. And he's remembered as the great servant. We need to be servants of the people that we come in contact with today. You remember when Jesus gave that great example of the judgment in Matthew chapter 25? He talked about all these things that people had not done. And they said, Lord, when did we see you in this way? We didn't see you in sick or in prison or infirm or all these things. When did we see you like that? And he said, is that you did not do it to the least of these, my brethren? Then he turned to the other group and said, you know, in that you did see me sick, and you did come and visit me, and you did see me in the jails, you did see me in all these ways, and you did see me hungry and thirsty, and you took care of me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you that way? He said, in that you did it to the least of these, my brethren. The way we treat one another really reflects the way we treat Christ. I know a long time ago I heard a poem that I wish I could find. Maybe if I looked on the internet, I could, I don't know. The title was, what would you do if Jesus came to your house today? What would you do? And in this poem, this writer says, would you take all the magazines out of the newspapers and put a Bible in their place? Would you all of a sudden get out the fancy china and silver and everything to have the finest things that you could serve a meal on? What would you do? I don't think the Lord would look at any of that. I don't think he cares about that stuff. Because that's what that is, that stuff. I think the Lord would want to sit down and say, now let's just visit for a while. Let's just talk. Let's talk about your life. A number of years ago, I went to lunch with a young man over in Jordan. And I just looked at him and I said, tell me, how are you doing spiritually? And he looked at me and he really couldn't answer that question. He said, I guess I really don't know. He wrote me a letter a little bit later. He said, David, I've been in the church all my life. He said, and I've never had a preacher, never had a devil, never had a deacon, never had anybody ever ask me, how are you doing spiritually? We do serve one another. Maybe I can't give you a lot of money. Maybe I don't have the wisdom to give you good advice. Maybe I don't know the things about your job or about life or about experiences. Maybe I haven't been through what you've been through, but I can be there and help and serve you any way I can possibly imagine. And sometimes that means just listening. If Jesus was on earth, that's what he would do. He would serve people. He washed the disciples' feet and he showed them that's what it's all about. It's service to one another. Tonight we're going to be looking at some other examples of one of the relationships we have in Christ. I hope and pray we'll all be able to study again. One of the things Paul has been facing, if you have never obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to explain. You believe in Christ as God's Son, if you want to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, the immersion in water for the remission of sins, that is the obedience to the gospel. That is not my doctrine, that is not the Church of Christ doctrine, that is what the Bible teaches. Jesus, the one who said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter told people, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've done that, but you haven't been faithful to Christ. You know you need to be dedicated to life. Maybe you have a need or you have a situation. You have a particular person or a person, something you want us to pray for, whatever it might be. Any response, we want to invite you to come. We encourage you to come.